Thank you so much, Denise. Let's get to our guest. Max Lin is Asia FX and rate strategist at Credit Suisse, joining me in the Singapore studio. Max, let's start with the yen. I mean, pushing to this fresh 24-year low. This is on the divergence between the US and Japan policy action. And we're looking now at a level of 140. When do we see that, and does that trigger intervention?
I do think that the 140 level will break fairly soon. It's difficult to predict when. And I think overall the market sort of understands that fundamentally, because the BOJ is not signaling any monetary tightening anytime soon and the Fed is on this very steep rate hiking cycle, that the yen should get weaker. The question for the market is whether or not the Ministry of Finance will make good on these threats to intervene. So obviously they don't want to test the MOF, but I think eventually the carry flows will push dollar yen through 140. And that the Ministry of Finance will stick to Japan's G20 commitments and not intervene. So it's just a matter of time of when the market can test that.
Is there a pain point? Is 145 the absolute pain point here, do you think?
I'm not sure if there's actually an absolute pain point. I think if you asked me 6 months ago, or asked the Japanese consumer 6 months ago, that dollar yen would be at 140, they would probably tell you absolutely not. So I think the way the Bank of Japan and the Ministry of Finance look at it is, how quickly does it move, right? Once we get to 140, you get to 142. If, you know, 145 looms on the horizon 3 to 6 months from now, that shouldn't be such a psychological shock, given that we're already in the 140 range.
It's not just what we're seeing in currency markets, but also in the bond market on the back of that very hawkish commentary that we had from Jay Powell last week. Benchmark Treasury yields up through 3.2%. We're also looking at that Eurozone inflation data too. How much, I guess, further pain do you see here in some of these market moves?
Well, we do think that the bond market should basically start pricing out, or not pricing in, any sort of cuts in 2023. And that's what Mester and Powell and, you know, a whole slew of Fed speakers are basically arguing for. So I think until you start seeing some of the inversion in the U.S. curve going away, you're probably going to see further sell-offs in the bond market and further dollar strength.
Our Kathleen Hayes was at the Jackson Hole Symposium, and she sat down with the head of the Bank of Korea. And I thought it was very telling, the fact that he said, you know, in a situation that we're in right now, where the Fed is being very aggressive and the dollar is strong, that in the case of the BOK, they may have no choice but to raise interest rates as a way of defending a currency. Are more and more central bankers in Asia going to be confronted with this challenge?
I do think so. And I think currency volatility is probably one reason that pushed Bank Indonesia to hike rates unexpectedly last week. But even currency effects aside, I do think that the direction of travel for all of these economies, except for China, in emerging markets, were basically for higher rates to combat inflation. The BOK obviously cares about what the Fed does and what dollar Korea is, but the BOK has been hiking for 12 months now, right? They moved before the Fed, they moved before a lot of central banks, because they were more alert about these inflationary effects sooner than others.
Well, let's talk about China. It's about 5 minutes now until we get the PBOC fix. Do you think we'll see it stronger for a seventh session?
Well, when you say stronger, I think it's important to clarify what stronger means. It's been stronger relative to the estimate, but for the last week or so, it's still been weaker than the previous day's fixing. So in my view, the PBOC is allowing yuan weakness, but it's basically slowing that process. So for day's fix, it should be interesting, because the model calculation is only actually 21 pips higher than previous. So there's no real need to adjust it stronger versus the calculation today. If they do choose to do so for a seventh consecutive session, then it would probably suggest that 690 is a short-term red line for the CNY fix. In my view, though, however, they're going to match the calculation. We'll see what happens.
Are currency markets in any way reflecting some of the geopolitical risk that we talk about, whether it's U.S.-China, Beijing-Taipei? I mean, are you seeing fund flows that maybe represent a bit of a haven trade these days?
I think in the short term, 2 weeks ago, during Pelosi's visit to Taipei, you did see those geopolitical headlines driving dollar Taiwan and dollar CNH. But now I definitely think the market's kind of refocused away from those headlines and back onto fundamentals. We all know that China is slowing down. In terms of the Taiwan market today, you mentioned earlier that Taiwan equities are sharply lower. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that the Korea export data probably showed a very weak chip shipments. And we all know that China or Taiwan is hugely exposed to semiconductor exports, and TSMC has already kind of warned that it would be or customers are cutting some orders amid weaker demand. So obviously, I think those are the main headlines for dollar Taiwan.
Max, Juliet was talking about the PBOC yesterday and the yuan, or the moments ago, I should say, and the yuan fixing. So now we have indications that China has set a stronger than expected fix for a seventh straight session. Give me your sense of what is operating in the minds of PBOC officials right now as it relates to the currency.
Sure. Well, I think overall that they're still kind of keep a longer term eye on CNY stability. And that's what we saw before the August 15th MLF rate cut in China, where it's basically range bound between like 665 to 675. So now after these PBOC rate cuts to the MLF and to the LPR, now we've gone from 675 to basically 690. So I think in the PBOC's view, maybe they think that's enough for now. But we still recommend investors to hold a long dollar position against the offshore yuan, because we think that the uneven growth characteristics of China's economy mean that at some point, either in mid-September, mid-October, mid-November, they could see another monetary policy move towards the downside, which should push dollar CNH higher. Those are always difficult to predict. So overall, I think that even though you have stability now, it's still a good position to hold.
And a large part of this is the economy, the recovery from COVID. If we continue to see these very strict border controls, and that means Chinese tourists aren't traveling, you're looking at long dollar against baht as well. Tell us why.
Sure. Well, before COVID, Chinese tourists basically accounted for 27% of the total tourist arrivals in Thailand. And now that's basically zero because, as you said, COVID zero means there's basically no outbound travel from China to Thailand. So even though you're seeing some recovery in other markets for tourists, tourists from the U.S., tourists from Europe going back to Thailand, tourists from ASEAN, but you're still going to have this massive excess capacity for tourism in Thailand. So they're going to want to keep policy loose. The Bank of Thailand said as much yesterday. And I think that from their perspective, they think a weaker baht kind of helps usher in those tourism inflows. So we expect the baht to weaken further. I actually initiated a trade idea 3 weeks ago, and now it's at 36.6, which is my target. But based on the BOT comments recently, I do think that there's further upside towards, 37, 37.5.
We were talking about the yield differential story a short while ago. What is the house view at Credit Suisse on the inflation story?
Well, from a strategy perspective, we think that inflation is much stickier than what the market wants to believe. And we think that the Fed officials are actually starting to recognize this now. But there's kind of still this belief in markets that, there is a Fed put, that the Fed is targeting the stock market, that the Fed is targeting financial markets. And because inflation is so high and so entrenched, it doesn't really sound like the Fed is too concerned with a hard landing these days, right? Messer basically said as much, if you have a recession in the U.S., that's not necessarily a reason to lower rates because the Fed is mostly focused on inflation. And Powell also said, there will be some pain for businesses and households in his Jackson Hole remarks. So to us, that means that the Fed understands that inflation is now sticky. It's just a matter of when the market will understand that.
If we have parity for euro dollar, where do we see moves changing from that if you're going to see the ECB have a 75 basis point rate hike?
Sure. Well, I think if the ECB does kind of hike 75 basis points, obviously the market's going to be debating that after all these, hawkish comments by Nagel and some of the other ECB officials. I think that it's probably not going to break far below parity in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But I think thereafter, you still have to focus on the overall hawkish message of the Fed versus the ECBs. We have to remember that the Fed is still also debating a 75 versus 50 basis point move at the September FOMC meeting. And the Fed has already hiked many magnitudes more than the ECB has prior to this. And, the carry differential in the dollar versus the euro is already still quite high. And that's not going to reverse no matter how hawkish the ECB is. So I do think that overall the euro dollar should still head lower. And our medium term target for the year end is 97 cents.
Max, I can give you 20 seconds for your best trade right now in the foreign exchange market.
I think long dollar CNH is a good trade these days, because even with this stronger fix, you haven't seen dollar CNH kind of go back below the 684 to 685 level. It has trouble breaking below 690. So in the event of dollar weakness, in the event of a weak payrolls miss, I do think that dollar CNH will still be stable, and that you can still basically collect the upside for the future rate cut.
6.91 at the moment. Max Lin, Asia FX and rates strategist, Credit Suisse, in our Singapore studio. This is Bloomberg.